I'm going to move forward to our scripture today. We will be reading from Psalms chapter 46 today. And when you have it, I just ask that you please stand with me as I read the scripture, and that will be followed by a prayer. So when you have it, say amen. Psalms 46. I just ask that you stand with me as I read our scripture today. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam at the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Let's bow our heads as I pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our hearts of gratitude, thanking you for your constant protection in every season of our lives. In the midst of uncertainty, you are our rock, our refuge, and our peace. Your word reminds us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our requests known to you. And your promise stands. Your peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love, your mercy, that is new every morning, and the grace that carries us through each day. We surrender our worries, our burdens, and our anxieties to you. For 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. We lean not on our own understanding, but trust in you with all our hearts, knowing that you guide our steps and direct our paths. Father, Today we lift up the women who will share their testimonies. May their words be filled with your power and truth, testifying to your faithfulness, your healing, and your restoration. May their stories be a light to those who need encouragement, a reminder that you are God who redeems, who restores, and who never leaves nor forsakes his children. We ask for your healing over every heart and everybody in this place. Lord, heal the brokenhearted, restore the weary, and bring peace to the troubled minds. Your word in Jeremiah 17:14 declares, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. We believe in your power to heal not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this service. Move freely through us. Touch every heart and let your presence be known. Let us, less of us, Lord, and more of you. Use us as your vessels to reflect your love, peace, and guidance, showing others how you have been significant in our lives. May everything we say and do bring glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, in advance for what you are going to do today. May this service be a sweet offering to you, a time, testimony, and renewal. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. We will have our praise and worship by Miss Ashley today, Sister Ashley.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Is it okay if I get on the floor with you guys? Praise the Lord, everybody.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. know my story and all the things that I've been through. You can't feel my pain, what I had to go through to get here. You'll never understand my praise, so don't try to figure it out, because my worship is for real. Oh, because my worship is for real. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. I love you, Jesus, and I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus, and I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you honor. We give you glory today, Jesus. You're worthy. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. We thank you, Father, for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. We ask you to move in this place. Meet us here, God. Move in this place. We give you
that he's good. He's good. And his mercy endureth forever. He is good. With technical difficulty, he's good. He's good in spite of. He's good. Thank you.
And tongue from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are, and you are good. Yes, why, yes, why, yes, why. So good, so good, yeah. Lord, you are good, say. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Y'all sound good. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, say. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, say. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good, so good, so good, yeah. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. So good, yeah. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time. All the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, you are good, you are good, all the time, you are good, you are good, all the time, all the time, you are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy is good. Lord, you are good, yeah. Lord, you are good, yeah. Lord, you are good, and whoa. Lord, you are good, yeah. People from every nation, people from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, people from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, people from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, people from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are, 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 and you are God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you are good all the time. And all the time you are good. Thank God. We thank God for Sister Ashley coming to lead us in praise and worship. Lord, we thank you. As we move forward, we are going to have a special presentation from our Girl Scouts. So I'm going to call up Kennedy McCoy.
Today is our Girl Scout Sunday, the first day of Girl Scout Week, which is a time when we shout out our Girl Scout pride from the rooftops. It's also a time when many troops celebrate the connections between Girl Scouting and their faith. Learn more about celebrating the connections between other faiths. And thank faith partners for their support throughout the year. This year, our Girl Scouts have chosen to reflect on the first line of their Girl Scout promise, to serve God, by performing acts of service at church and to worship through singing. Troops 947-61074 and 09698 would like to extend a special thank you to Pastor Ford and Pastor Deloach for supporting Girl Scouting within your congregations. We also like to thank all of the members of both Bible Union Fellowship Church and Taylor Tabernacle for your support of Girl Scout activity / events and for helping us to reach our cookie selling goals.
He's the God of all creation.
Hello.
He's the God of all creation. He's been good through all the ages. Push or pull, he never changes. He never changes. He's the God who moves the mountains. He reconciles the brokenhearted. And in him we found redemption. Redemption.
Glory to the one. Sing.
Glory to the one who saved my soul, to the one who opened the door.
He's the God who never leaves us. Faithful through the generations. What else can we do but worship? Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to the one who did it all. Glory to the one who saved my soul. To the one who I adore. Praise the Lord. Glory to the one who reigns on high. Glory to the one who saved my life. To the one who I adore. Praise the Lord. All honor and power to Jesus forever. All honor and power to Jesus forever. All honor and power to Jesus forever. All honor and power to Jesus forever.
Glory to the one who holds it all. Glory to the one who saved my soul. To the one who I adore. Praise the Lord. Glory to the one who reigns on high. Glory to the God who saved my life. To the one who I adore. Praise the Lord. Glory to the one who holds it all. Glory to the one who saved my soul, to the one who I adore, praise the Lord. Glory to the one who lives on high, glory to the one who saved my life, to the one who I adore, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That was such a great presentation by our Girl Scouts. God bless them. So now as we transition to our testimony service, I just want to thank God for everybody who is about to testify to God's, you know, work in their life, their his guidance and love and restoration. Let's just definitely bless these people who are about to come before us. The first person I'm going to call is Sister Deanna White.
Thank you. Good morning, church. So bear with me, okay? So a lot of you know that I'm in medical school. I'm in my last year. And amen. And medical school, there's a lot of studying. There's a lot of exams. There's so many things that we have to do. And my second year of medical school was one of my hardest years. Not only was I studying for a board exam, which, if you don't know, is an exam we have to pass in order to move on to the next year. This was the same year. Bear with me. This was the same year my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So not only was I studying for this exam, studying for my exams during the year, I had to take this big exam at the end of the year while supporting my mom, supporting my family. And it was hard. It was really hard. And when I went to take this exam, we had to take what they call a practice exam right before the exam. And usually most people, you either barely pass or you're like right on the cusp of passing, where you should be at the end of your second year. And when I went to take this practice exam, I failed miserably, not even by a little bit. And so I really felt defeated. I felt so defeated because I was like, God, how could you bring me here just to leave me? Not only this exam, but with my mom and all the things she was going through, I was like, why me? And I remember every day studying, and I didn't even share this with a lot of people. I just felt so lost. I really just didn't know what to do. I cried every morning. And one day God said to me, faith. And so I opened my Bible and he brought me to Matthew 17:20. And I know most of us know it, but I'm going to say it for you. But it says, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, for if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And from that day forward, I said that scripture every morning. Every morning before I studied, I would recite that scripture. And when I went to take my next practice exam, my score jumped exponentially. What they told me was impossible. They told me I needed to move my test date, that I wouldn't be able to take it on time, but God had other plans for me. Not only did I take the exam on time, but the day of the exam, I felt peace. I didn't have any stress. I wasn't anxious. I went into this exam and I was like, God said I just need to have a little faith. And not only did I pass my exam that year, my mom also was cancer-free in that same year. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Yes, God. I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And over the next 2 years, God continued to show up and show out for every exam, every rotation, every place I went. And so I say all this to say, if you're in any season where you feel like the obstacles are too big, you feel like the mountain won't move, God just said, hold on to your faith. Lean into him. trust in him, because he will see you through. He will see you through. And so most of you know, like I said, I'm in my last year, and about a year ago to this month, we had a prayer board service, and I wrote down on my card that I would match into my top residency spot. And so I wanted to tell you all that I will have my first physician job at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God, Lord. We thank God for Sister Deanna. We thank God for her mother, Deaconess Helena. We just thank God for their life, Lord, and the things that they are about to do, the things that Deanna is about to do as a black pediatrician in the city of Philadelphia. Hallelujah. 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 I believe that's a 2%. I believe the statistics say that is 2%. 2% of black women. Hallelujah. So we thank God. We thank God for Sister Deanna. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless his name. Hallelujah. As we move forward, I'm going to call... Hallelujah, Pastor. Hallelujah. We're going to move forward to Sister Zakiya. Sister Zakiya. Hallelujah.
For those of us who might be new here, before I became a member at the Tabernacle, I was a volunteer here in the Turning the Tide Center. Before I really understood it, I put Isaiah 43:1-3. If you ever receive an email from me, that's part of my signature. And I never really understood it at that time. So for those of us who are not familiar with Isaiah 43:1-3, but now this is what the Lord says. He created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.
When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. I'm sorry, I can't see. The flames will set you ablaze. The flames will not set you ablaze, excuse me. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So I read this to you because, as I said, that when I first came to the tabernacle, I was a volunteer, but I didn't actually become a member of the church until 2018, 2019. When I came to join the church, I recently had a heart attack and therefore heart surgery. By the grace of God, it wasn't an open heart surgery, so they didn't have to crack my chest open. It was a robotic surgery. So that happened in 2018. By the grace of God, I stand before you now in 2025. I'm not fully healed. I'm not where I need to be, but the Lord has brought me to this state. In 2012, we had our first baby. We got married in 2007. We had been trying since 2007 to have a child. The doctors put us through multiple rounds of, just fertility treatments. At one point, we met a doctor who told us we shouldn't have children. When I started the job that I work at now, I kept looking at the area and I couldn't understand, like, this seems familiar, but I can't place why. So it wasn't until one day I was looking out the window and I was just like, I'm literally standing across the street from the building where this woman told me I can't have a baby, I shouldn't have a baby. 2012, Zoe was born. We were like, okay, we're good with that. Hallelujah. We put all our eggs in that basket. For those of you who don't know, her name is Zoe Quinn. So my name is Zakiya. My husband's name is Quincy. So her first initials are ZQ for that reason. For those of us who didn't know, Zoe also means life. So that's a testimony right there. So with Zoe, we were just like, okay, fine. We put our eggs in this basket. That's the end. And God graced us with two more children. Hallelujah. 2015 and 2017. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then the first time I got a chance to stand on this altar was the first women's month that I attended. And I stood right there in that aisle. And I boo-hooed about, you know, the surgery. I boo-hooed about my marriage. And I thank you, guys. In 2025, my marriage is thriving. Thank you, Father. My children are thriving. They started in an online school. They're all on an honor roll. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to say one last thing. It's something I had shared with Sister Lillian. I don't remember when it was, but it might have been a Bible study on Friday. Pastor asked us all to partner up and pray for one another. And I just stood there and cried as Sister Lillian prayed over me. And I'm so grateful for that because that started a relationship with us. And through studying with other churches, I went through, a discipleship program. And we talked about prayer. I learned more about prayer. So now I'm more comfortable with praying and praying out loud. And I want to say maybe 2 years ago, my mother was losing her friend in the hospital. And out of the blue, my mother called me. We talked about it, and she asked me to pray for her. And that's all I could do was pray for her. And if she'd asked me that a couple years beforehand, I would have never been able to do that. So I praise God for allowing me to grow in that manner. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. We thank you for Sister Zakiya and her testimony. Hallelujah. Just a reminder that God is always in our corner. That when the doctors say no, that when people say no, when people turn their backs on us, He always has a plan. Lord, hallelujah. He said, before you were born, I had a plan for you. Hallelujah. He said, before you were born, I had a plan. Hallelujah. 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 So that means no man can go against his plan. Nobody can go against what he has for you. As we transition, I'm going to move on to our sister Tina, which is, if you know the history with me and sister Tina, I actually joined this church in third grade. I was 9 years old. She brought me here to sing, to praise dance. I used to attend Cornerstone Christian Academy. And she was my third grade teacher, and I just thank God for connecting me with her so that I could be a vessel to bring my mom here and to bring, you know, our family here. So that's a little bit of history with me and Sister Tina.
I first want to give God the glory and the praise. To God be the glory for the wonderful things he has done. Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't know if there's a form or fashion to this, but Yolanda Adams has this song titled Church Doors. And in that song, she says, when you let me make it to the church doors, I'll tell you what he's done for me. So I'm going to tell you what he's done for me. A year ago, I'm at my ophthalmologist, and he says, you know, I see cataract in your left eye. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's that age, and okay, doc. He says, but I have a friend who can take it out. I'm like, okay. He's a surgeon. I recommend him. You'll be seeing like a teenager again. I'm like, wow, all right. So, long story short, I said to him, I need you to do that procedure, please. He said, okay. So as time went on, we scheduled a date. He did the procedure. And maybe a month after the procedure, I started having problems. And I'm like, why am I having problems? I started seeing lights that I shouldn't saw. I started seeing blue lights. When my eyes were closed at night and I'm trying to go to sleep, I was seeing light. So I would go to him and I would ask him questions. I found myself being in the emergency room like at least in a month's time too many times, let's say, and seeing him too many times. I mean, when I tell you it was a bad experience, it was a bad experience. And the questions I asked him, he didn't have an answer. He was like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? So at this time now, when going to see him, I'm suffering from anxiety, fear, crying, and even those secret tears that you didn't know about. I asked God, I said, God, give me wisdom. What is going on? And I believe that during the time that I asked God for wisdom, he gave me the wisdom which recognized truth for me to move on. And I moved on, and he sent me to Wills Eye Hospital. Now I'm at Wills Eye Hospital, and I'm in the emergency room because my eye is hurting. Now, mind you, I'm suffering. My eye is red. It hurts. It's waking me up at night. This is not supposed to be. I was in pain. I was crying. I was hurting. I'm like, God, help me. What do I do? What do I do? I rush to emergency at Wills Eye Hospital. They take my pressure. Now, just like, and I didn't know this, just like if they take pressure in your arm, there's also pressure in your eye. Did you know that? So the pressure in my eye was 62. That's like, you're going to lose your eye. And I began crying, and they said, Miss Murray, stop taking the medicine, the drops, and what this doctor is telling you to take. We're going to take care of you. I'm like, okay. We're going to set up an appointment for you to see our doctors. I'm like, okay. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The whole time I'm keeping in prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm thanking him. So now I'm at Will's Eye, and I'm sitting in the lobby, and I'll never forget, because the floor is crowded. Each floor of Will's Eye is crowded. So about three chairs from me, there's this priest. He has his collar. He has his laptop. And I'm thinking he's working on a sermon. That's what I assumed anyway. When they call him, he walks over to me and he says, I just want you to, he taps my leg. He says, I just want you to know that I feel such a calmness coming from you. And I'm like, wow. Okay, thank you, Jesus. So now they call me in the back and I'm in the back room and this is God. He had me the whole time. I believe I would name this part of my experience a ram in the bush, because there was an unexpected help came from the Lord. So I'm in the room waiting for them to come and examine me. And this man walks by and he sees me sitting in a chair. And I believe, to be honest with you, I know I was reciting, Lord, you know, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. I would say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'm reciting this in my mind. So this man walks by. He says, you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. He said, I'm going to bring you a bottle of water. I said, okay. So he brings me a bottle of water. He tells me his name is Ed. That's all he tells me. And I can tell that he worked at the facility at Will's Eye. So now they examine me, and I'm like, okay, you have swelling in your eye. I'm like, how did I get swelling in my eye? You have swelling in your eye. I believe it was the drops, you know. You were on them too long and it caused swelling. I'm like, Jesus. Well, you know, we're going to have to do a procedure to take down the swelling. We can take down the pressure with the drops. Our drops we're going to recommend for you. But now we have to take down that swelling. I said, okay, we have to give you a needle. So I'm rolling up my sleeve thinking that he meant a needle in my arm. He meant a needle in my eye. And I'm like, what? And I'm afraid and I'm scared. And I'm like, what? A needle in my eye. And I began crying. Miss Murray, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm like, Lord Jesus. I said, but I don't know. No, Miss Murray, you can't think about it. You have to think about it now because it's only going to get worse. So just to speed things up with my left eye, I started getting those injections. And they weren't easy. I don't think they'll ever be easy for me. But the pressure in the eye is gone, but the swelling is still there. But I have much more to go. So now with that, Jesus, the same man who walked by my room calls me later on that night. And he said, Miss Murray, I read your chart. So I said, who is this? He said, this is Ed. You met me today. And this is my ram in the bush. Thank you, Jesus. He said, my name is Ed, and he told me his last name. He says, I'm going to pair you with a private doctor. I said, okay. I said, how you can do that? He says, because I'm in charge of the ophthalmologists, I'm in charge of the physicians, I'm in charge of the surgeons, I'm in charge of the techs, I'm in charge of everyone, and I'm going to pair you with your own private doctor so you could communicate with. And I said, thank you, thank you. And he says, they're going to communicate with you because you was all about communication from the beginning. Like, I was really concerned about my eye care. Talk to me. Don't hide nothing from me. Don't sugarcoat nothing with me. Talk to me. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. I want to know the truth. And I thank God for the wisdom he gives me, because that wisdom allowed me an ability, first of all, to give him the glory and to recognize truth. And that's what he did. So now, I'm seeing a private doctor. Now this private doctor, and I won't be before you long, this private doctor now says to me, her name is Dr. A. She says, Miss Murray, you have cataract in your right eye. I'm like, here we go again. Here we go again. She said, but Miss Murray, I'm going to take care of you. Now, to be honest with you, I wasn't really trusting them ophthalmologists because of the first one. I really wasn't. So I'm crying to my God again. I'm crying out, Lord, I cry out to you to heal me, to save me. Lord, I don't trust them. They hurt me. I said that to my father. I did. I'll tell him on you. So nevertheless, she says, Miss Murray, I'm going to be here for you. I said, okay. But just before that, Shanita, it was Women's Day. And Shanita asked me to read announcements. And now with me getting this eye injection, I didn't want to let Shanita down. So I said, okay. And I came up here and I couldn't see him. It went blurry. Everything went blurry. I could see you, but I couldn't see your details. And the words just went away. And I felt so bad. I did. Now, my sister Cass knew what was going on with me, and my deaconess Helena knew what was going on with me, and my God knew what was going on, and it hurt. So now, with the second ophthalmologist who tells me she's going to take this cataract out of my eye, she said, Miss Murray, there's something else I need to tell you. And I said, what's that? She says, in this procedure, besides taking this cataract out your eye, she says, I want to do another procedure. And I said, what's that? She says, so you'll have no pressure coming from your eye. I want to do this procedure called, and correct me if I'm right, Doc, gonotonomy. That's what she told me was called. Okay. So I said, well, what is that? So she says that we have in the back of our eye, we have like a mesh part. And she wanted to make an incision in the back of my eye. And I was like, whoa, Nellie, I don't know about that. I told her, I said, I got to pray about it. I did. I got to pray about it. So I did schedule the date, February the 19th. I said, okay, all right, February the 19th. Now, mind you, in between that time, I says, all right, I got time. February the 18th came, and I still didn't tell them, really, I didn't give them a decision. My doctor called me February 18th that night. Miss Murray, have you decided, are you going to, you know, have this procedure? And I said, well, I didn't get an answer yet. I'm still praying. That's what I told her, 8 o'clock that night. So she said, well, Miss Murray, I tell you what, when you come in, are you coming in on February the 19th? And I said, yes. She says, okay, well, when you come in, we'll take it from there. I said, okay, all right. So now I'm up February the 18th, knowing that I got to be there tomorrow in the morning. And I'm, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? God, what do I do? I'm praying. I've been praying, Lord. I've been asking for help, Lord. And many times when I couldn't see my scripture, I have a magnifying glass that I would use in reading my Bible just so I can see the words, because I didn't want to miss anything. My heart and my soul was thirsting for him and the word. So now it's getting late. And then you know how we are. We think we got the idea. We got the plan. So now it comes to me. Oh, I know what you do, Tina. Get all your summary notes together and read them, and you can decide which surgery you want to take. It was either procedure one, just take the cataract out, or procedure two, take the cataract out and that gonotonomy. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I know what I'll do. I'll figure it out. You know how we figure it out, right? That's when God laughs at us. I'll figure it out. I'm getting all my notes together, and I'm reading them, and I'm getting sleepy now. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, hours before I need to get up and go to this surgery. What do I do, Lord? I'm crying. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. What do I do? What do I do? I don't know. Now it's about 3:30, and I says, all right, let me just lay this to the side. Just paperwork to the side. I laid them on my nightstand, and I said, well, let me just rest for an hour. And I went to sleep. And while I was asleep, I'm dreaming. And I want you to listen to this. In my dream, I'm walking to church because I'm seeking spiritual guidance. I'm seeking an answer from the Lord. I remember seeing this in my dream, a white church with a white steeple. It was white. And I'm going to church seeking spiritual guidance. And I'm inside the church. And as I walk into the aisle, to the pew, this woman comes out the aisle out of nowhere and she stops me. And she says, pray for me. And I said, well, I'm about to go up there and pray because I need prayer. She said, no, pray for me. My name is Robin. And I said, okay. And I just started praying for Robin. After I finished praying for Robin, I remember the whole church was praying. I remember hearing a lot of prayers all over me. Then she was gone. And then I remember crying out to the Lord, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. And then I woke up. Now I'm up and I'm like, wow, God, even in my dreams, I'm crying to you. Even in my dreams, I'm praying for others. Even in my dreams, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking spiritual guidance. It was just amazing. So now I'm like, wow. Now, this phone right here was on my nightstand. I didn't touch it. I'm still laying in my bed. I look over on my alarm clock and I see the time. It's like 4 something. I'm like, oh boy, I ain't got much time because they want to answer, you know, hours from now. This phone lit up. I tell you, no lie. This phone lit up. What came on my phone, I want to read to you. I saved it. It came 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Give me a minute. You know how your phone act up. Well, mine's still anyway. 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. I believe that's what it was. And it just appeared, just like that. Come on. Because there were words in the middle of it that I was like, wow. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Lord. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It appeared on my phone. And it said, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is complete and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold and I may dwell in me. And I was like, wow, I didn't touch my phone. That just came up right after that scripture came up. This woman came up on my phone. She had a blue shirt on and blonde hair. And she says, be still and know that I am God. And then you got it there today. And I'm like, she said, be still and know that I'm God. Telling me that be still and know that in every situation, every circumstance, God is always present. Just be still. After that, I'm going to tell you what I did. Tina Marie fell on her knees on the side of her bed. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At that hour, I knew that I was being comforted by God. I knew that he was with me. I knew I got my spiritual answer. I knew that he did it all. And I had strength. I didn't feel no more weakness. I didn't feel no more anxiety. So now, a little more to this. Now, my neighbor picks me up, Dottie, across the street. She picks me up, takes me to Will's Eye and everything like that. So now we're at Will's Eye Hospital. I'm ready for my surgery. Because now, God comforted me. I thank you, Lord. So now they call. I'm in there with everybody else who's going to have the surgery. And, wow. So they call my name. Tina Marie. So, you know, they call you to register, get your little band and everything. So I go up there and I sit at the lady's booth. But the lady who's to register me is crying. I said, why are you crying? She says, this job's just so much and I just can't, it's just too much and I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be registering you because this is a lady, I have to tell her what procedure I'm going to have. I said, what's your name? She said, Debbie. I said, give me your hand. And she gave me her hand and I began praying for her. I don't know what I said. But I say this to say that when you are going through your storm, your journey, God will use you to pray for someone else because a need has to be met. His prayer has to be done. His word will be done. And he used me to pray for Debbie. And I was like, wow. So now I just say, to God be the glory. My first, now I'm coming to church, first Sunday. I'm walking in here. And guess what? I was like, ooh, I can see. I said, Cassie, I can see. I said, Sister Helena, I can see. I was able to see the tears in Sister Helena's eyes. I said, Lil, I can see. I wasn't able to see this board before. So here we go. To bring up and build in believers the body of Christ to be sent into the world. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, establishing the faith as you have been taught, abandoning it with thanksgiving. I couldn't see that before. They examined my eyes and told me in my right eye, I have 20/20 vision. Look at God. Look at God. So I praise him today. And I say to God be the glory for the wonderful things he has done. So when I came through those church doors today, yes, let me tell you what he done for me. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. And for our last testimony, I'm going to bring up my beautiful mother, Deaconess Lillian Davis Jones.
Everybody telling me not to be long. Amen. I'm going to do my best. But they asked me. Amen. When I was asked to give my testimony, I immediately said no. To Shanita and Courtney, I was like, do they have any idea what I'm going through right now? They have no idea what I'm going through. I'm just coming out of a situation, another dark place. They have no idea. I literally, the pastor had preached about the Red Sea, and I felt like I literally had just came through the Red Sea. All I could think about was, I'm barely surviving mentally. They had asked me again, and Sister Courtney had told me to pray. Our newest deacon. She said, pray. I was like, okay. But I still didn't want to give a testimony because at that time, I didn't feel like I had anything to say. But the dynamic duo continued to ask me to give my testimony, and I continued to say no until last Saturday. Shanita had came over to me, and she was like, Lil, and I said, okay. Because the Holy Spirit has spoke to me, and he said, give your testimony. I have so many testimonies of victory, but there was this one testimony that I never talked about. I don't think I shared with many people, but today I'm going to share it. Because I am a miracle standing right here. God has healed my body. The enemy has been trying to destroy me and silence my voice since I was born. I have been attacked. I've had guns pointed at me several times. The SWAT team, I remember, the SWAT team had busted into my home, tore down the doors, ransacked my home, rifles and guns pointed again at me, but this time I had children. They were young. Christina was screaming. Brandon was coming out the his room like, what's going on? Because it was dark and it was just lights on the rifles and guns or whatever. Come to find out, it was the wrong house. But the city, they had fixed some of the damage that was done. But in spite of it all, I trusted God. March 2nd of this month was my 10-year anniversary. You see, I'm a liver cancer survivor. 10 years, and I'm just able to talk about this. I'm still learning how to cope with my anxiety because every 4 to 5 months, I have to get MRI scans, CT scans, and blood work. Every 4 to 5 months since 2015, 10 years, I go through this every 4 to 5 months with blood tests, scans, and have to wait for the results. And this has been my routine since 2015, and I'm due now, but I'm kind of put it off. But I've always found comfort knowing that God is with me. He will give me the strength I need, and he will hold me up. I have no other options but to trust him. On February 26, 2015, I had drove myself to Springfield ER Hospital. I had noticed sometime that December, I guess 2014, that my stomach was lopsided. And I was experiencing some discomfort from time to time. I had explained to the doctors and the nurses what was going on. They gave me a quick examination, and they had ordered an ultrasound. The radiology tech was trying not to alarm me, but I work in the medical field, and I know the faces. So she, you know, just kept going over, measuring this certain area for an extended period of time. And I felt, well, I kind of knew something was wrong, but I felt like something was really, really wrong. I had explained to the nurses and the doctors what was going on, and after, I think I already said that, the radiologist said, so I had, they had took me back to the ER room, and then shortly after that, the doctor had came in. And she was asking me a lot of questions about, was I in pain, like extreme pain? Was I feeling dizzy? Did I have dry mouth, headaches, feeling nauseous all the time, a whole bunch of questions. Everything that I should have been feeling, I wasn't, other than that discomfort. And I'll never forget, I will never, ever forget, she had sat me, and she was sitting on the side of my bed. And she said, Miss Davis, you have a very large mass growing out of your liver. So I'm like, oh, okay, what does that mean? And you have to have surgery immediately. I think this was on a Thursday. Me not realizing how serious it was, I was like, okay. I kind of literally blanked out. It was like what she said, it went in the ear, in my ear, and I just kind of just went into a different zone. But at that time, I felt like the enemy was like, nah, I got you this time. But immediately, when I say immediately, the peace of God had came over me, and I immediately went into fight mode, like not today. I was calm, and the peace of God was like all around me. It was like I blocked out, I literally blocked out everything. All I knew and all I had was God at that moment. That was it. I had called my BFF, my best friend, Tawana, and I had told her. And she said, did you talk to Kirby? And I was like, no. She said, you need to call her, Kirby. And, of course, he was a nervous wreck. And then I called Sister Kim, who called the pastor. And as busy as our pastor is, and as many places that he's around, he just happened to be in the area. That is what I call God's perfect timing. He came to Springfield Hospital, and he prayed over me just before I was leaving for another test. And for me, that was confirmation that God was letting me know that he was with me. And all that I needed to do was to trust him. The ER docs had told me that they needed to find a doctor to take my case. So they were looking, and they did eventually. They found the doctor. His name was Major Kenneth Lee. They escorted me to University of Penn because I thought I was going home and coming back. They was like, no, you going to the hospital. So they escorted me in an ambulance. That was my first ambulance ride. And I just continued to pray quietly. And it was like I was just okay. Kim told me I was in denial. She was like, Lil, like, you know, this is serious. And I was just like, la-di-da. You know, I just was like just, I don't know. I just went into a zone. And it was like I just had to stay there in order to get through what I was getting ready to go through for the next couple of days. Of course, I was greeted with different teams that came in, asked me different questions, you know, same questions, family history, all of that for 4 days. And it just wasn't adding up because I wasn't the candidate to have this type of disease that was in my, you know, this tumor that was growing. So my new diagnosis was called hepatocellular carcinoma. I think I pronounced it right. I should know by now. Which commonly occurs in people with liver disease or people with chronic hepatitis B or hepatitis C, or people who have cirrhosis of the liver caused by alcohol abuse. Everybody was baffled because at that time I was 50 years old, healthy. I wasn't a drinker, but I had this large mass growing out of my belly, out of my liver. I'm here to remind you that we serve a God who sees you. Elroy is the God who knows every detail of our circumstances. And my God knew what was set before me and ready to carry me through. The Bible tells us you need to have a grain of faith. Just a grain. Do you know what a grain is? In order for God to move on your behalf. But I truly believe I had a handful of grain. I did. Because I needed a miracle. I needed a miracle healing from God. And I just repeated my faith scriptures over and over again and continued to pray quietly. I had met my surgeon the next day. It was Dr. Lee, who I assumed was Asian because of Lee, right? I did. But he was an African American. My surgery was that Monday, March the 2nd, 2015, and it was a success. Praise God. My tumor was 15 centimeters, which is equivalent to 5.6 inches. So just think of a ruler. 6 inches, half of a ruler. I don't know what the width and all, like, I forgot all of that. But I had a tumor inside of me the size, almost half of a ruler. That just came out of nowhere. It was huge. But the one thing I remember that the surgeon said, he said that the tumor was in the perfect place where he can remove it. It was encapsulated. And what that means is, it's confined, like in a bubble, so that you can understand. So, and that was a good thing because it wasn't touching any of my other organs or any other thing. So it was, like he said, it was in the perfect place and he could get it out. So when you see me praising God, when you see me praising God, hallelujah, I'm thanking him for covering me. I'm thanking him for healing me. Hallelujah. When you hear me saying he's been good to me, because I say that all the time, he's been good to me because he healed
my body. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. I remember the times when I would just rub my stomach when I didn't know what was going on, calling on the name of the Jesus, not knowing, but glory be to God. Hallelujah. It reminded me of my mama. My mom told me a story of how the mother of the church used to rub her belly. Hallelujah. With anointing oil. When she was carrying me. And she prayed over me. Every Sunday or whenever my mom would go to church, she would pray. Because you see, my mother lost her first two sons. Two different pregnancies. And she had a miscarriage. Okay. I was destined to be here. I am a child of the King. God has a plan and a purpose. Hallelujah. For my life. And I hope and pray to do what God has called me to do. With the fight. God's presence was my refuge, especially on those days when the reality of everything that had happened had came to surface. Because when I was discharged, and about a week, I believe, had passed, I had become depressed, scared, out of my mind, and everything in between, because I didn't understand it. Like, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it, and I just became very fearful. All the, you know, all that faith, that big faith, that great faith that I had, when I got home after about a week, I was scared. I was scared. I had no appetite. I had lost a significant amount of weight. And Kirby didn't know what to do with me. So he called my mom. And he took me to my mom's house. And my mom took care of me and brought me back to health. I'm skipping over some stuff, y'all. I had no chemotherapy or radiation. The doctor said I didn't need it. He said I was okay. He said that he got everything, so there was no need. I was like, well, isn't there like a little pill that you can take and, you know, it'll get everything? And he was like, no, Miss Davis, you do not need that. So anyway, I'm just wanted to remind you guys, like, I have a large L-shaped scar on my belly that I see every day, which is a reminder of how good God has been to me. And that God is a healer, and that I am highly favored and blessed of the Lord. God has given me the hope to trust and believe that I can do all things through him, because he is the one who strengthens me. Amen. One more thing. On September the 14th of 2022, another small tumor showed up. But it showed up on my right side of my lungs. I had a procedure. It's called cryoablasia, which is they freeze that area. And guess what? The following year, September 20th, 2023, I had the same procedure done again because another little tumor had showed up. My doctor and my team, they are the best, but God is the bestest. Nothing can ever prepare you for sudden illnesses, but God got you. I always believed he was going to heal my body because I believe in his promises, his word. That's where you'll find your strength. I hope, in my closing, I hope that my story uplifts and encourages you to fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up.
Follow God's will for your life. Resist the temptations. And tell your testimony, because you could be a blessing to somebody. Because this was hard for me to get up here and talk about this. But I thank God. I thank God for everybody's testimonies that has been a blessing to me. I've been hearing about healing. It's a lot. God has healed a lot of people in this church. Hallelujah. And we ought to always have a praise on our heart and in our mouth. Praise God. That's my baby over there.
Praise God. Praise God. I thank God every day for my mother. So we are going to transition over to a call to salvation. So if you would like to receive Christ today, please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that He shed His blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. If you accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website, www.taylorstabernacle.com, and go to our Contact Us page and check the box, I am interested in being a Christian. And leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. If you have a prayer request, again, please visit our website, TaylorTabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. I'm going to call up Sister Kennedy to do our announcement. Zakiya, I'm going to call up Zakiya to do our announcement.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to... Good morning. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Please remember to hit like and subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Pastor is calling for all YLE members to come together for a youth choir to sing on Easter Sunday. In preparation, we will have a 30-minute choir practice immediately after service every Sunday through Palm Sunday. Parents, we need your support. Please attend service with your children every Sunday so that they can attend choir practice. Pastor is also asking all men to cook a dish or two in support of our minister's ordination service on March the 30th. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Please contact Sister Melissa Lee with your contribution. The pastor is asking all young men to serve during lunch as well. For the Lent season, the pastor is asking everyone to give up 1 hour of phone or tablet time and replace it with 1 hour of prayer and or Bible reading. The Lent season began on Ash Wednesday, March the 5th, and ends on Easter Sunday, April the 20th. As we all know, March is Women's History Month, and what a month and the time it has been. Amen. Our theme this month is God's masterpiece created with purpose. As a result, this month's Bible study, which we hold every Wednesday at 7 p.m. via Google Meet, has been led by different women who are leading us and showing us how we are God's masterpiece. Amen. Every first Sunday, we will continue to gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child the second through fifth Sundays. And as always, please do not forget the Pastor Ford's Wildly Challenge. Girl Scout cookie season for Pennsylvania has been extended online until April the 12th. So if you would like to order cookies that have been shipped, that will be shipped to you directly, please use the link, tinyurl, which is tinyurl.com/4P, the number 2, K, s, w, b. And our final announcement, we're having an Easter egg hunt on Sunday, April the 20th, immediately following service. Please contact Deaconess Kim or Sister Alex to make donations of plastic eggs and candy by April 6th of this year. And that concludes our announcements.
Amen. And now I will call up Sister Zaya for our offering. It's offering time.
Do I read the offer thing? No, not the thing up top. That. Do I read the
Okay.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of the four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, the Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to TaylorTabernacle.com, giving, and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A. 19139. Okay. Venmo, Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those who gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets to the side ramp door for your offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you enter the sanctuary. Pastor V via Cash App or Venmo, Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo Jonathan Ford 25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. Next, I'm going to call up our deaconess, Shanita and Courtney Scott. We want to acknowledge two women in our church today.
Good morning, church. I just want to thank everybody for volunteering because I asked. But I want to thank everybody for giving their testimony this morning. Can we give them a hand clap? Can we give God a hand clap? Amen. He's so worthy of the praise. Again, I had to fight. Some of them said yes. Some of them said no. But we made it, and I appreciate them for doing that as well. I also want to give a special thank you to my coworker and sister, Reverend Ashley Davis. Here, she did praise and worship for us this morning, so I appreciate her for coming out. And this morning we want to acknowledge two people. So first, I'm going to call up our sister Cassie. Oh, don't look at me like that. Come on up, girl. All right. Hold on, I'm coming. So we want to acknowledge her. She will be graduating from Pathways Human Services on March 27th. She will receive a diploma in human services, okay? And she passed her certification exam on February 20th, 2025. Woo! So, we just want to say thank you. God is doing a lot of things in your life, and we will continue to support you and celebrate you. So everybody give her a hand clap. Thank you. And second, we want to acknowledge our doctor. Come on up, girl. And I don't have to say too much because she already told y'all. She already gave y'all her testimony. Amen. So we want to say congratulations and thank you to her. She's becoming a doctor. I mean, Christina already said it. A black woman doctor is amazing. And we have loved being on this journey with you. We continue to be on this journey with you. We're praying for you. And thank you for saying yes when I asked you to give your testimony. Amen. Here you go. All right. And I think that concludes our service. Amen. I am going to ask the pastor. Yep, come on up, pastor. He's going to give us the benediction. Amen.
So, good morning. God bless you. What an interesting day, right? So, let me share my perspective with you. So, as a pastor, most people believe that church folk talk about people, right? Y'all should say yes, because y'all talk about folk, y'all act like you don't know. But in addition to church folk talking about people, sometimes folk in the church, out of the church, their family, pastors talk about church folk. That's what pastors do. When we're not preaching or praying, we're on the phone complaining about you. I mean, if you got a pastor, just ask him, what do you do when you're not preaching and praying? Oh, I complain to you. And then when we get really desperate, we complain to God. When we get really desperate, then we finally go to God and whatever. So I had the privilege, you know, being a pastor's kid, right? And I would hear the matriarch complain about you. I did. I'm not lying. We would go, her favorite pastime was eating, so we would go out and eat. And while we would eat, one by one, she would complain about you. I'm just telling you. How, and I told Barb and Keisha this when they passed their ministry training, how wonderful it would have been for her to be here today. How wonderful to see, this is what the witness says, your labor is not in vain. That's the word of God. And for years, she labored over you. She did. And I became her outlet because she had to tell somebody. And they was like, man, all of you, she birthed you. She prayed you through. When you refused to pray, when you refused to come to church, she prayed for you. And how wonderful. And she's not here physically, but I know she's looking down in heaven. I know people say that. But I believe through an eye of faith, God is allowing her to see this so that she knows in eternity her labor was not in vain. He adds to the witness, and he said, I would that your fruit remain. There it is. You're the fruits of her labor. Because she loved you guys with an extra special love. Being a woman also, she loved you guys with an extra special love. And I know she was hard on you, but she was hard on you for a purpose. Right? Because it takes something to be a woman in the 21st century for God. Right? So she leaned hard on you. But look at you now. Look at what God has done. Right? How wonderful. So I just wonder, I'm sitting there, so I get to see her. Most Sundays, my back is to her, but I see her. And she got that little smirk on her face, and that's what it is. It's like, wow, all of these daughters that God allowed her fruit to remain. So thank God. Thank God for his faithfulness. What you do for Christ will last. A singer would know that, right? She knew that song. That's mom. That's what mom did, right? Thank God for you. Courtney and them love you. I really love your son. If I could buy him, I would. You see all that energy he had up here? Singing, dancing, spinning. Thank God for him. Thank God for our young people. So a number of weeks ago, I said, wait a minute, Pastor, we called you to get a benediction. You all going down Broad Street. A couple of weeks ago, someone sent me a picture on my phone. You know, on those phones, they record your history. You know, 2 years ago on this day, it was whatever. Someone sent a picture. Last month, I don't know whether 2010, 2011, and the pulpit was full of young kids. Deanna, all of them. But they were young then. They were 10, 12. They were up here, supposed to be singing. My crazy son was looking out, the leader's there, and he looking out the window. I mean, they were all over the place. But look what God has done. So I said, well, it was interesting. We got the Girl Scouts. That's how it starts. This is what I'm talking about. When your labor won't be in vain, if you just trust God, right? And just train them in the way they ought to go. Look what God can do. Look at that. God honors your faithfulness. And they grow up to be masterpieces all over the church. That's what they are. See those masterpieces? That's what you are. And that's what the matriarch prayed so desperately for each and every one of you to become. So she's proud. I'm proud as your pastor to see the great work each of you have done. Thank you for how you're moving the church forward. And as women, I just encourage you, support one another. You can't do it. Look at all these wonderful testimonies, right? Thank God for the testimonies that started on New Year's Eve night, right? Thank you guys for honoring my request. Do more tests. Look how blessed you are by hearing what God has done for someone. For when you hear God has done it for someone else, it makes you believe what? That God will do it for me. And he will. Amen. So thank God for that. I want to get you out of here. I do want to say this thing to our men. Thank God for all of our men who have responded to the call for cooking. The phones were blowing up this week. But if you haven't chimed in, Sister Melissa's here. Let's do it. We want to be able to honor and close out and celebrate our women on next Sunday by preparing dinner for them. Our young men are going to serve. And we are just going to celebrate all of God's wonderful masterpieces as we congratulate two who are being ordained to the preaching ministry. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. So let's stand. If you stand up, I'll stop. If you sit down, I'll keep going. But thank God for all of you. Thank God for a wonderful day. So many family and friends here today. Come on, let's look to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be gathered here in this place, gathered here around your word, and to be gathered here around people who are like precious faith. Now the hour is far spent. The day has gone before us. As we leave this place, we leave not your presence. Go with us. Stand by us. Stand up strong in the heart and in the life of believers everywhere. And as we go forward into the week, help us to shine with the brightness of your sun, that the world may see the glory of God manifested and emanating out of the life of believers everywhere. God, that they might know there is a God. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins, that we not die and be condemned to hell, but have access to everlasting life through his son, the Lord Christ Jesus. So this is our prayer. We ask it, believing, hoping, and knowing that you will bring it to pass, not only in this life, but in the life to come. So we greet you and we praise you. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor. See you next Sunday.